You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better.
You
need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me. You know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it. We got a special guest. He was on before, and we fucked up with the timing. And, well, you know what? Hold on. Let me. First of all, Harry, how are you doing?
Doing good, Dante. Doing good. 2021 is good. I'm still trying to get my catchphrase and trying to find my new catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
Going.
What you got? You got another one for us?
Party hard, party right. is that going to catch on?
Andre, you want to vote on that? I'm going thumbs down. I'm going thumbs down.
Why? Party hard, party right. Yo, Migo said that shit.
All right, Harry, go back to the drawing board. Dre, you ready to rock and roll, baby?
Yeah, do it.
Yo, want to shout Dre out with the fucking, his Instagram with the slouch.
Slouch theory.
Slouch theory. He's just Andre talking about dumb shit that he don't know.
All kinds of things, man.
What's your background, by the way, Andre?
Sativa.
It looks to me like somebody dropped the ice cream on the floor.
Yeah, somebody dropped the ice cream cone, and I saw it, and I felt it was very artful.
You felt wrong.
This nigga is background is sativa from Diesel. His Girl Scout cookie. You live on Girl Scout Cookie Street.
I would love some of that right now.
I know. I got some lemon tree that I just bought that I can't
That's
wait to
I'm
roll
talking
this
about.
Up.
I don't know what is this I got here.
What happened?
He tried to
Sherbalado. You heard about that?
I have not. It's funny that everybody focuses on strands now. Remember before when you just thought weed was just weed?
It was either dirt weed or good weed. It was dirt weed, good weed, and hydro.
Right. That's what I'm about to say. Only thing I knew was dro, because it came in little glass jars and it was $20 instead of you. There was no nickel bags of dro.
Yeah. And then they started getting it in. They was, I usually don't smoke, but I can't get shatter and indica for some reason. But anyway, Dave Temple in the building.
What's happening, family? How we doing?
What's up, baby? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Everybody.
So let me say this real quick. Dave was on before. We had a fucked up time situation, and so Dave had to bounce and go do a show on Zoom. You know, he had to leave us.
Stuff.
He had to leave us to do a Zoom show. So that shows how important we are.
Had to get that $75, man. You know what I mean?
Money.
This nigga did his show on his phone and couldn't sit in our studio. I get it. You know, it's good to know where you at. You know what I mean? What up, baby? You good?
I'm good, man.
A little happy and shit. You got a girl and
nah, that's just my teeth. I wipe my teeth. It makes it look like I'm happy, but I'm not.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know.
It's good to see you, bro. We've been running into
Dre, you got to come out with us, man. I've been on the hustle again, so I'm gonna hit you up with me and Harry hit the streets.
Word, you know what I'm all saying? COVID safe, huh?
Yeah, all COVID safe shit, but outdoor. We did a looked like a place where they would hide a bus in a zombie movie. It was kind of like that.
Or if you're trying to hide stolen diamonds in a Quentin Tarantino film,
where we would meet
empty warehouse,
two gangs would meet. You know,
to make an exchange.
Yeah, where the meeting goes wrong too, right?
Yeah, where the sniper. Dave Temple got the sniper gun on the balcony. He snuck in, and Andre got the bomb, the dirty bomb or some shit. Anyway,
it's decent enough, but that's what we're doing comedy now in warehouses.
Yeah.
So I've never seen Dante tap out and go, "Yeah, I'm done." I think when the guy fell through his chair, like his
had a plastic chair, and the dude flipped, the chair collapsed, and I was like, "I got it.
Funny. I'm done."
I think I'm done. I did go. You know, I'm good. Let's be honest.
You
go.
You took a second.
I actually started out by laying. I went up, and it was like already beat up because so many motherfuckers had got on. Some motherfuckers ate their ass already, and so I got up and I was like, you know, man, why don't we just end this? Like, we could just end this. Yeah. And they were like, they laughed because they was like, yeah, I'm about ready to be a wrap.
Some people don't know how to run stuff. You're like, not everyone needs 12 minutes. Not everyone
everybody
can
don't get
handle 12, that.
My friend.
Not everyone can handle that length of responsibility.
It seems like it's just two little numbers. It's a number one and a number two. You figure, how bad could it be? It could
be
bad, son.
It's a big difference.
Together, you get three. That's how much time you should be doing. Three minutes.
Three hot. I don't know. Anyway.
That's like how NBC used to do you in those auditions. Look, man, you got 30 seconds, man.
NBC was it 30 or was it a minute? Was it a minute or 30?
Like a minute,
but yeah.
Minute,
Andre, you won that shit 1 year, right?
I was the finalist. I ain't win it.
Damn. If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, you're first loser.
Anyway, Dave got a girlfriend in the building. Yeah, what made you? Come on, we got a white girl. No, what's going on?
No, I can't do that, man. I realize I am terrified of black women. Like, I've been hiding this non-black. Well, I haven't been hiding her, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I am a bit worried about what black women are going to say because the backlash is brutal. And then, like, my ex was black, but at least I got black kids, so that count, right? I already, you know.
Mine's is beige. My son is beige.
Oh, word. Yours is not. Your lady not black?
My lady, she's black. I mean, she's mother white. So she black, I guess, right? Her daddy from Dominica.
Right, right.
Like
if you ask the Ku Klux Klan, it would qualify as black. Nigger. So
her father is her father is
I mean
her father looked like he plays conga drums.
Yeah.
Like he black like that.
Yeah.
But he got a British accent. So it's kinda wild. This nigga's like, it is what it is.
No, but she's Latina, man. She's half Puerto Rican, half Dominican. So, you know, it's a lot of plantains, a lot of rice. It's good.
A lot of trauma. That's a lot of trauma, both of them together.
You know what? For them to not fuck with each other, they certainly do seem to fuck with each other a lot. You know what I mean?
It's so ridiculous.
Black
man.
People and Puerto Ricans?
No, black and Dominicans.
Dominicans.
Like, because it's not like you don't see that.
First of all, let me say this. I don't like how you saying Dominican, like a Dominican now. Now you're like Dominican.
I know, right?
Come on now. Don't do this.
I'm all that dumb shit now.
I went by Dave's house. He's got a statue of David Ortiz in there now. She's completely different.
And the sad part is I didn't know the difference for years. Like, I didn't realize my barber was Dominican. I thought he was Puerto Rican. I thought anybody that spoke Spanish was Puerto Rican. But we don't
Yo, Andre, I got your next guest on Slouch Theory.
Anybody that speaks Spanish is Puerto Rican.
So we didn't have Dominicans in Philly. That is not a thing in Philly. We had
none.
Puerto Ricans, and they was mostly, like, you know, like a there's a few Puerto Ricans. I don't know where they come from, but you know,
we don't. Usually from Puerto Rico.
None of these Puerto Ricans have ever been to Puerto Rico.
That's true. In all fairness to Dave, there is a lot. There are a lot of Puerto Ricans who've never stepped foot.
That's not true.
No. That is true.
Especially once
you start getting to the ones that in the landlocked states, like the ones in Pennsylvania, live in like Lancaster and Reading and the Poconos. Like,
but just think, they don't even need a passport. They got our passport.
That's the great irony of it, though, because Dominicans, every one of them, go back once a year.
Yo lo que, que loco, yo que loco, I go to go back home, ba.
Yeah.
Tengo que ir.
That's the only way I found out my barber was Dominican. Him and his brother, they cut next to each other, and one day I come in and he wasn't there. And he wasn't there like two times in a row.
And you was like, "Who? Yo, where the Puerto Rican guy?
Where that Puerto Rican nigga at?"
But his brother cut me, and he's like, "Yeah, he go home to DR. He's on vacation." And I'm like, "Oh, y'all Dominican? Oh, okay."
I know
you did that. You could have just nodded. You didn't have to go, "Oh, word."
Yo, here's the crazy thing. I don't think they speak English. I don't think they speak English at all. There's a serious language barrier to communicate between me and my barber is simple. You know what I mean? My haircut is real simple. But if I ever try to actually have a conversation with him, I get a lot of, "Oh yeah, yeah, my friend. But I don't think he's speaking.
Yeah. It's a weird little delineation, but Puerto Ricans more English than Dominicans. Like Dominicans, it's almost like a 50-50 shot if they do, but pretty much every Puerto Rican knows English.
I mean, they should. The country's owned by America.
Fair point. They're a commonwealth. Yeah.
They should.
Dominicans, you know what they do speak though? Electric scooter. Ooh, you come in, the crackheads come in with scooters for sale.
Really?
They gather around, bro. Like, they don't even shy away from a guy coming in with scooters for sale.
They will scooter.
Any little motorized thing, if somebody comes in, they will pull their money and buy that together ASAP.
And do what with it?
They just keep them. I guess, from like what my lady told me, like that is their preferred means of travel in DR. So it's just what they work with here, especially because most of them do not have driver's licenses. Like, it's no way to explain to somebody who's been driving since he was 9 that he needs to go take a test and learn how to drive here in the United States. He's just not going to bow down to that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
The law will make him bow down to it.
That's why, did you see that thing that they did a few years ago with the whole, like, they was trying to give, even if you didn't have your proper immigration status, New York was still trying to just give them licenses.
Okay.
Because, like, the court was too clogged with people being caught driving without a license, and they mostly...
Oh, well, they did it like that.
Yeah, because everyone would go to criminal court, and they was clogging up criminal court, you know what I mean? On some, like, they're here, they don't speak English, they need an interpreter. You give them a date to come back, and of course they're not showing up. So it's just like, yo, this is crazy. Like, we got all these bench warrants on these people, and the court is clogged up. Like, just give them licenses.
Shit, damn.
That's how you know the fucking law is just bullshit. The judicial system is.
Yeah, you just change it up anytime.
Like, you know what? My bad. Give everybody a license.
I remember I was doing shows over at Compound, and they used to fuss about that. They was fussing. Hey, did you see this new ordinance? And I'm like, well, look, have you been down to the courthouse? Shit is crazy, dog. Like, shit is crazy.
Fuck them.
Yeah, they really wasn't worried about the courthouse thing. their beef was not the courthouse at Compound Media. Their beef was about brown niggas getting licenses. That's what they beef was. I mean, that shit.
How'd you meet your lady, Dave?
She used to be an assistant for a more famous comic.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, jeez, you're right, bud?
You're all right, bud? No, he's smoking, nigga.
I know.
Continue.
He's about to be over.
Sorry, I already got thrown off by Dante doing that.
Because coughing during the Rona years is not normal. You know?
Yeah, I'm not used to people
the
coughing
Rona
anymore.
Years. Is that going to be a new show with Fred Savage's little brother?
It's the Rona years, man.
Yeah.
A show.
Motherfucking Rona years, bro.
Dave, you gotta take your girl to a black play. Do they move black plays in Philly?
All the time. Yeah, all the time.
Where they do it in Philly?
You know, in their house. They be like putting together little productions. They'll run I'm making like a joke.
Oh, okay. But like, do you have a theater that they do the black? Because they used to do it at the Beacon Theater down the block, around the corner from Stand Up New York. Right. So it'd be like, those hips could talk, right? And then they'd be like, starring Clifton Davis.
Yeah.
Starring Freddie Boom Boom Washington. Starring Von DiCarlo. Starring.
I saw one of those plays a couple years ago with Carl Payne and Genuine were in it.
Yes.
Genuine. Yeah.
Now here's why I brought it up. Would you take your Puerto Rican girlfriend to see a black play? Because you know the daggers in that. That shit is. Because they look at you with disgust and they look at her with vengeance.
Yeah, man. I'd have to put on some shades, man. Like some thick stunner shades and just like not look people in the eye and not let them see me quiver, man.
Either that or you'd have to pretend that you're Dominican too and do a lot of that. Hey, papi, watch out.
Okay, papa, what you doing? Yeah, what you
look
doing?
At this.
I'll go get me some curly shoes and some tight jeans.
Yeah. Take your socks off.
Curly shoes, though.
Dave, did you experience...
Love dressing like Aladdin.
Dave, did you deal with that a lot, like growing up, or if you're dating outside your race, that you get a lot of shit? Did you experience that?
I had access to women outside my race before I came to New York, yo. Mm. Like, yo, dead ass. I had a conversation with, I'm not even name dropping. I had a conversation with Michael Che about this a couple years ago at a show when we was at this party and this girl is dancing. And I was just like, I wonder what's up with her, man. I'm like, well, I wonder what her world is like. He was like, go talk to her. I'm like, nah, I don't talk to a girl like that. He was like, dude, the world has changed, man. You can talk to whoever you want. You know what I mean? Like,
who said that to you?
Michael Che.
Che said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Che got his white card a couple years ago.
Very excited.
We were all excited about it to see him get initiated.
I was at the party, the celebration.
I was gonna throw a dinner, but the COVID came. We were gonna throw a testimonial.
Yeah.
They got his white card.
He certainly made up for lost time. Let's just put it that way.
Because you know, Che's family ghetto as fuck, right?
Yeah. He's from the Jets, right?
I used to strip with his uncle. And Che, when I first met Che, was like, I don't know if you remember me. He was like sitting at the table, and I had been doing comedy, but he had just started. I don't know if you know, but you know my uncle, Apollo. I was like, fuck yeah, I know Apollo, right? He was like, that's my uncle. We used to watch your strip show tapes when I was 8 years old, and we would see y'all going on the girls' dresses and humping people in the face.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah, that's a ghetto family right there. They showing kids that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, his brother, I danced with his older brother too.
Oh, wow. So it's just a family of strippers.
Well, they were martial artists. They were like, I'm trying to think.
Oh, yeah.
They goju.
Those do go together, don't they, Harry?
Yeah.
It's a natural transition.
Well, here's how it helps. You take martial arts and you box. You bounce at a club, right?
Uh-huh.
You work out with motherfuckers. They go, yo, why don't you, got a good body? Why don't you, and then next thing you know, you're singing your dick for money. That's how it happens. It's a slippery slope.
One domino that has to fall, and then you're in a cock sling.
You're trying to get your brown belt, and the next thing you know, you're in a banana hammock.
I like that they were looking at their game film with like bifocals on and a clipboard and a notepad, just writing
stay
down.
Ready.
Yeah, just going hey, slow hey, it down, baby. Slow it down, slow that down. Rewind
it. I don't know, like you know, what's crazy. I think I would have had a confidence to dance. If I had to, it's the clientele that I don't, because you know, it's not hot.
Nigga, what are you talking about?
What's that sense, older Dave? Lady with the mustache
who drinks
beer out of a can with a straw? It's that lady, you know. That's the lady that's with the shit, you know.
Well, you got to go through that. You don't get to pick and choose, son.
First of all, it's like you going, yo, I'm gonna go do comedy. For four dudes who used to deal drugs.
Yeah.
like, that's my crowd.
Yeah. Some people thrive in that. Some people can handle it. I can't.
Dog, when you perform, it's the same thing. Your head is not even in the sexual place. So it's just like performing jokes. You just tell the you take stock of what you have, you know. Yeah.
I don't want to have to carry the shit neither, though, man. I hosted.
Carry what shit?
They just be coming in with these fucking hockey bags. They be having sledgehammers and shit in there. Like, I ain't carrying all that shit around.
You don't like the props. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So then you could just not have a prop. You don't have to have a sledgehammer. You could be stripper regular, regular.
That was an option.
Like, that angle is like
it's minimalism. Not. I've never seen it, but we just made it up. You just be a regular nigga, and you come up to the DJ. You go, excuse me, yo, what's going on here? And then you just that's your act.
Like if I was a stripper, I would come out like pretty much already naked. I would. There'd be no stripping down. You know what I mean? Like I'm coming out in the G-string.
Yeah, you would not make no money at all.
It's called showmanship, Dave.
It's not.
It's a little pizzazz that you got to add.
I'm coming out like, what's up? Is it? Where's the money? Do you want to pay or not? Do you want to touch me? All
right, okay. Yeah, that's not going to work at all. I would be like, you bombed, nigga.
Bomb stripping got to be worse than any other kind of bomb.
I know, but the strippers, they be backstage talking shit about other niggas, too. That's the funny shit, too, man.
That's any industry, though.
Nigga go out there, they be let him go first and get his little shit off, because he ain't going to make no money if he go. Like they be killing niggas in that shit.
But we do that same shit in comedy.
Yeah.
We spent the whole night. You were fucking right next to us. We did that all night at that warehouse.
But it's different, Harry, because you have your dick in your pants.
Right. That's true.
They also talking trash while they getting ready.
That's a different world.
Yeah, fair enough. Everything changes just at least slightly when your dick is out. It's a game changer, that's for sure.
Imagine how easy the trend. Huh? What'd you say?
No, I'm saying tools of the trade is different. You know, like we in the green room with some books.
You know the transition? My transition from stripper to stand-up comedian was not.
Same shit.
It was easy as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. You create your persona, you hone your persona, you gain your fan base, you move up the game to different promoters, you do bigger shows, you work on your private.
Eventually you do the Tonight Show and you strip.
I did
bring that dick on NBC.
Yeah, there is a ceiling.
I did Richard Bay. I did Richard Bay. I did
Richard Bay. Really?
Yeah, I stripped on Richard Bay.
Johnny Carson of stripping.
Yeah,
I did Richard Bay. I did Ricky Lake.
What did they have you on? Like under what theme or what was the reason for the booking?
I'm strippers. It was.
That was back. You know what? I forget
what
that
theme was it.
Typical Wednesday show.
Horny women.
I'm forgetting about the time in daytime television when just having a stripper was like wild and like crazy enough. I'm forgetting that, you know, there was a time before the internet.
You remember when they used to do guess if this is a trans woman or not?
Oh yeah, that was funny as fuck.
He was mad every day. Like, God damn, that bitch was bad.
Now they don't even go. Now niggas be like, damn, that bitch is bad. This call me old school.
I know.
I don't like my ice cream with nuts. I just like straight, whatever. But it's the transition was the same. It was really
changed that for you.
At least the format. You know, I didn't have to buy. I didn't spend so much money on baby oil. But other than that, other than my baby oil bill, I was pretty.
Suddenly, Dante had $6,000 to his name. Yeah. That oil was fucking you up.
Let me ask you this. I dated a Dominican girl and she didn't speak a lot of English, but we could communicate. But because there was definitely like she spoke English, but just like it wasn't her first language. So a lot of times she would get mad at me and I didn't even understand what she was talking about. Cause when she get mad, she was just like, bada, 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 and I was like, oh, I don't even know why you mad. And so she would get frustrated cause I didn't understand it. And then we would just make up cause it was like, yo,
she would
what
just
the
tap f-? Out. Yeah. I dated a girl who didn't speak English or her language wasn't English. And you do have like, you only go like two rounds with them before you go, I don't really understand.
I don't know what the fuck
is.
You're
and
saying.
Just,
so,
and they
so
just give up. So that's
kind of great.
We
couldn't fight because we couldn't communicate to fight. Plus, if you don't understand the nuance of the language, you don't know how to do this slick shit, you know, the passive regret. Like, you got to really be adapted.
This shit not going
to
work for Dave. His girl got Google Translate.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? I think she's easy because her thing is like she's a typical New Yorker. And that's the thing that I just had to realize. Most people are just New Yorkers are very extreme. Like New Yorkers are either all for something or all against something. There's no middle ground with New Yorkers. So it's like, all right, pizza, something as simple as pizza. Oh, yo. This is the best pizza in the world. Like that's okay. How New Yorkers are. Or this is the worst fucking pizza ever. There's no only time something is all right is if they're going to be like, if you be like, no, this is actually the best pizza. That shit is all right. But my man shit, best pizza in the world. Other than that.
So, that's not like that in Philly.
Like, the arguments be like this. This AR-15, the best AR-15 you ever had. This nigga gun be the wackest.
The argument about murder. Fuck out of here. Because I just never seen that kind of passion for the little stuff. Like New Yorkers, they're very passionate about little. You could just be talking about, I don't know, a record, and it's just like you start arguing. But they
somebody
go
will
really
tell
off.
You where the best whatever
where the best
is,
shit is,
whatever
yeah,
it is, whether it's sandwiches or records, and it also goes by different nationalities. Like,
and we don't give a fuck about a Philly steak, a Philly cheesesteak.
I had a Philly cheesesteak in Philly. I'm going to. That's bullshit. It is meat and cheese with some bread. It's bullshit. Philly cheesesteak, bullshit, son.
Oh,
you got to
not really going to get an argument for me out of that. I don't even think them shits should be legal. Them shits, there's no and a cheesesteak.
It's cheese sauce.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? The picture had me, son. The picture looked fucking long.
Where'd you get it, Andre? Which place?
I was in.
Did you go to the right Philly shop?
But that's the thing, too. I was like Googling and everything, and then I asked niggas in the streets, and then they were like, we going down to the spot. And then when I got there, it was a whole line of niggas from Philly outside. I was like, this
so you figure, oh, this is what it?
This gotta be it.
Yeah, but that's
Andre
like,
might have gotten went to an Arby's by mistake just because it was
big ass Arby's
right next to a bar that let out, and he's like, yeah, this
got
shit
the
is
meat.
Arby's gonna be trying to pull bullshit like that. Yo, we got
Arby's is trash
right now. Yeah.
I mean, I think Arby's knows what they are. Like, again,
of course you like it, Harry. You a loose meat type of nigga. You like a deli sandwich.
He does like some coke.
Hey, man, I'm doing keto.
Got ham in your pocket right now. I don't want to hear shit.
You call him a loose meat kind of nigga.
This is some bullshit, Dave. That's what this is. Just because I'm trying to better myself through a keto diet. And,
fuck,
you know,
that is bullshit.
So I had to bring. So
you
I had to
have
go
meat.
To the supermarket and I got some.
You want to be keto? You want to be keto? You gotta have meat on you all the time. So yeah.
My point is, Arby's. We see those commercials, but that's not for us. That's not for New York and Philly. That's for the Midwest.
To them, it's exotic
when they get a gyro. Like, they
we got the meats.
Yeah, they get excited.
We got the shits too.
It's like Touray from Philly. Toure and I was on a we was like split headlining, and he was like, yo, I'm hungry, yo, you want to go get it? He was like, yo, I was gonna go to the Subway. I was like, son, it's a Four Seasons right there, why you not? He was I was like, dog, when I come out here, I'll take care of myself. I'm not going to Blimpy.
Yes, Philly. I I'm not gonna say this for all Philly dudes, but yeah, like food ain't really our specialty, bro. Yeah. Like that ain't the area that we splurge in. You know what I mean?
It's what just, is it like, Philly niggas splurging, Dave? Other than pistols, other than your occasional hardware. Philly niggas. I will never forget when Beanie Siegel came out with the jacket that had extra holes for his guns. I was dying.
Yeah, so we straight like we're out the Chinese store with it. all day. Like if you if you're a hood dude, you at the Chinese store with it all day. Like, you know, low mean, couple egg rolls, we just keep it moving, you know what I mean? And when you need to re-up, you go back in the Chinese store because it's right there. But like
even call food re-up, nigga. That is nothing.
Well, you know, I mean, like when you
let me get 6 ounces of fried rice, please.
Nigga gripping the pistol asking for chicken. Like, let go.
I mean, look, all right, lad. I was
let me get
no
two
means,
birds, fried, hot sauce, and ketchup.
I was by no means a street dude. I tried my hand. I hung out on the corner for a little bit.
That's not what I heard.
It's a full-time job, though, man.
That's not what I heard.
Basically, that concept of reeing up on food is you might have forgot to eat because you've been out.
Wait, Dante, before you go any further, you must start with allegedly, you know?
Allegedly. I was a certain comic was like there was beef going on somewhere, and they looked to Dave like, "Oh, we good, Dave here. It's a gang of niggas ready to run up, and we good because Dave here."
You know what's funny? My first time when I first came to New York, like my first time coming to New York, I used to run with Rip Michaels. And Rip used to have me around Long Island and stuff, doing all these little bar shows.
He had to go to a lot of boroughs to steal jokes. You got to make all the, yeah, you got to hit all of the spots.
So I never forget, but only thing I knew of New York was what they talked about in rap music and all that shit. So I wasn't coming to New York without no buddy on me, but I didn't know you couldn't just walk around with the shit, right? So like we out.
So you could walk around with it in Philly. You could just walk around.
This is hilarious.
I mean, like they wasn't giving out dime pieces for a pistol. You could still go to court and beat a gun charge. You know what I mean? Like that. But New York, it was 10 right off the rip. You know what I mean? Like no question.
Because just PA has different gun laws, a lot looser gun laws than New York State does.
You know what I mean?
That whole
shit that we got going on in Central PA, it's a religious thing that keeps it like that. Like, don't get me wrong, the jail system is crazy out there, but you would basically a few years ago, you'd have been able to go to court, caught with a license, with You still got a chance. You still got a chance. You can have a gun on you with no serial numbers, but you got a chance. You know
really?
What I mean?
Wow.
New York.
You can have a silencer on you without the gun. I swear to God, silencer without the gun, 5 joints.
Yeah.
Start with 5.
Yeah, they went crazy in New York. And this was at the time, I want to say this might have been about like 2009 or something like that, my first time coming up. And I remember Rip had us, we were helping him promote some show over at Chuckles. Remember Chuckles in Long Island?
Yeah, yeah.
And we had to go up there. We was trying to hang this banner out on the outside of the club. And when I'm standing on his car helping him hang the banner, they see the handle sticking out of my jeans. And they like, yo, what is that? And I'm like, we're in New York. And I remember Richie Redding was with me. And Richie,
that's so funny.
Richie was like, yeah, Dave had a reaction like, y'all don't have y'all guns with y'all? You know what I mean? But at the same token, like, you know, and this ain't no disrespect to Rip, but I didn't know Rip like that. I ain't trust him as far as I could throw him. And, Rip would do stuff like, yo, stay right here. I'm going to leave. I'm going to be right back. You know what I mean? And he was leaving me at rooms. Like, I never forget, he left me at some room with the dude, Sugar Sean, who ended up being cool. But, you know, the dude Sugar Sean. We was in the hood of Brooklyn, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it was like,
Sugar Sean, you know he did something illegal. That nigga got a felony.
Yeah, I remember I used to do them rooms, them black, I remember doing a gig on Pickin Avenue because Barry Ribs called me and told me it was a room, a stage.
That's your fault, Dante. I'm gonna
old
tell you
ass
right now.
Barry. This was years ago.
This is your fault.
Barry been 98 for at least 20 years now.
Barry is 107.
But go ahead.
But it's just those rooms were like, I remember going there and this dude, the host was just snapping on the DJ, and then he just I had like $800 gator boots on, and then the DJ just starts snapping on my boots. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm in the audience, nigga. You don't even know I'm a comedian. I'm sitting in the audience. So I was like, these niggas.
Yeah, but it did used to help get paid at them kind of rooms, no matter where I
gun,
was.
I can go
to Baltimore, I can go to D.C., I didn't need to know nobody. Like, what would happen, what would work out for me was if I approached the room, especially if they got security. If they got security, I'd always call the promoter, let them know y'all walking up right now. You know what I mean? Boom. Promoter usually staying inside the venue. As soon as I get to security, security tap me down and be like, yo, you got to go back to the car. While I walk back to the car, that promoter know, all right, we got to get this money right. Like, yeah. We can fuck over anybody. You know what I mean?
Because
I wasn't going all the way to Maryland or all the way to D.C. and come home empty handed. You know what I mean?
Say, this nigga got the hammer on him. Let's get him paid. If nobody else get paid, he get paid.
Yeah, I think people like you possibly made it easy for me because I haven't had that issue. They probably look at me and be like, he looked like he built like Dave. He might be like this nigga.
He looked like some Dave. That's some Dave shit right there.
Yeah, because I've never had to ask. It's been all right.
I know. Yeah. I've had that for some comics. Some of the younger, some of the white comics that came up with us, you know, that I would get that tap on the shoulder every now and again. Like, oh, the promoter's kind of giving me a hard time. Could you help me get the money?
Hey, what's the difference between ladies down in Philly and New York from your experience, Dave?
Keep in mind, I was with my youngest daughter's mom for 10 years. You know what I mean? So I ain't really
you get to explore.
Yeah. Like I held that down for a while, and then that ended, you know, last year. So I was like, all right, cool.
Yo, because here's the thing. I met Dave when he came in from Philly. And then somehow Dave was, I don't know, you was going through some shit and you started listening to the podcast. And I ran into you again and you was like, yo, that shit you was talking about. Yo, son, that shit is going on. And that's how me and Dave kind of hit it off. So we were. But Dave was going. I'm not sure, Dave. What were you dealing with, Dave?
What was going on that you kind of related to from the podcast?
It was the issue of, you know, like the dynamic changed in the household. You know what I mean? I kind of lost my leverage, especially once the kids came in, and I was just kind of like a financial. I was the financial. The provider.
Right.
But it got to a point where it's like, don't nobody need to listen to him. He ain't going nowhere. Like, he got to pay the mortgage. If he leave, he got, you know what I mean? They had me by the ball. I can't, like, I could go ahead and be like, all right, go ahead. I'm gonna start over and fuck something new. But I'm gonna be paying. You know what I mean? Like, so it got to the point where it just like, you know, learning how to assert yourself without still being the you know what I mean, because I wasn't trying to go to jail you know what I mean, and I've been through that with my first daughter.
Plus you had a lot of ratchets up in the house anyway, you don't really need niggas to come be.
And I like a house look like John Wick.
You killed my dog.
But yeah, like, you know, it was that type of situation of like, yo, how do I still establish things like, yo, sex is still required. You know what I mean? Like, you're not just going to limit me on some, with everything I'm dealing out here in the world.
Okay.
I'm going to come home and not get pussy and still pay the mortgage and play with kids. You know what I mean? All that kind
of
stuff. You know? So it was that kind of stuff.
It can be tricky because you don't want, especially if you're not the type of person who yells or doesn't want to yell, and you think, how do I be assertive without being aggressive? But you can do it. It's just
stuff like that makes me wish I had superpowers, bro.
In what sense?
Shut the whole room down if you could just make your finger light the fuck up. Niggas know what it is. Got fire. Yeah,
oh, just in general.
Like what Dante be saying, that they don't know, but they don't really respond to that. That ain't going. You got
not. We had don't, nobody cares because you, that your fingers light up.
Fucking bitch, I burn this shit down, bitch.
Yeah. You still got to burn it down because by the 10th time you light your fingers up.
Burn it down, pussy.
Right.
Your shit anyway, bitch.
Women worse than
fuck
men.
Fuck you, Thanos. Your fucking chin look like scrotum balls anyway.
If you threaten a woman, you're going to have to follow through with that. You understand?
Eventually.
Yeah, you're right.
Eventually, you got to show that you... It doesn't have to be often. It's just enough to remind them, like, hey, it could happen.
This is a thing why... this is what I say about how credibility is so important. Because without any credibility, you can't even communicate. You can't even communicate because somebody needs to know where you're coming from in the first place. It must be, like you said, running in and somebody seeing, knowing that you got the ratchet in the car gets you paid. But you right. got to be you. But the same thing is like, listen, just because I'm paying, just because I'm the financial, don't think that I will stay here and deal with this. Whatever we got to work out, we got to work out. But you got to understand is a lot of times when you're in this situation, you're giving so much, like especially as a father and children, you're giving so much. You don't even count it. Like, because you just, your intention is to be a man and to provide. And so you do so much.
Right.
And beyond so much. So now all of a sudden when somebody is, you know, when you got the apartment, maybe you live in a studio now and they in the house, but you got to understand is now the full brunt of everything is on them.
Right.
Like they don't even understand how to the support because it becomes such the norm that they take it for granted. And know that's where your leverage lies. Right. What did we talk about when you
I don't remember, but I know the turning point in my relationship. And I think one of the things that we definitely talked about was you got to be okay with letting this go. Like this could be over tomorrow. And I'm okay with that. Right.
Right.
So for me, one of my biggest breaking points was I had a car accident in like October of 2019, right? I was lucky nothing happened to me, but basically we had gotten into some bullshit and I left out to go to the bank in the middle of the rainstorm. I wrecked, totaled my car. I was okay, but I never bought another car. I never bought another car. At the time, I was Ubering on the side after comedy, trying to keep stuff together.
Why didn't you buy another car? Financially, you couldn't afford it, or you just had enough with it?
I said, fuck it. Like, I'm out here.
Just fed up. I'm hustling, and now I got
hustling.
And I fuck up my car on an argument, running in the rain, on some emotional shit.
So it was on some, like, you know what? Y'all say I'm tripping. You right. I'm going to sit back. I'm gonna go ahead and let you see what it's like to be like. I'm gonna still do my comedy and all that, but I'm not hustling for the extra. Mm-hmm. And it gave me peace of mind. I don't know if y'all remember, I had a baldy a couple years ago because I had stress induced alopecia. I had a big bald spot right here on the side of my hat. So if you see my special, the second one, I got a baldy in that one, big side, no hair was growing right here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I started to see myself getting stressed out. And when I let go of the car and was just like, yo, I can just Uber wherever I need to go. When you, right. when I took a look at what I was spending on oil changes, tires.
Yeah.
Same thing, right? So, all right, good. I'm good. I can get to where I need to go.
Go ahead.
No, because she had been through since I was with her for 10 years. In the 10 years that I was with her, four cars that I had bought her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a thing, obviously, you know, you my girl, you got my kids, I'm gonna keep you up and running.
Uh-huh.
But she never had to fork out no bread for no car, so she didn't have no respect for the shit.
Right.
And then she would hop in my shit when her shit wasn't working. So once it was like, all right, it's on you, and whatever you do with that car, boom, I don't need a car. When her car went, and I had a feeling at the time that we was on two different financial.
Now was
teams.
Wait, real quick. Was she when the car's going under just for neglect? Like it was just was she not taking care of it?
Yeah, you ever hop in the car after a girl drive it and the dash looked like Christmas? You know what I mean? Like every light on, you like ain't noticed. Yeah, like the car
the Vegas
just,
strip. Light after light.
It's like the Bellagio.
Old school Times Square.
Yeah.
Right. Like you just don't say nothing. Like, and then like the car be like it's not supposed to make that noise.
Right.
You wasn't gonna say nothing. Like you'll just let it run to the ground.
Yeah.
And then when it don't work, you'll just be like, oh babe, look at my car. I gotta run. I'm gonna just take your car. You know what I mean? So like that's the kind of stuff that was going on, and you get this program, and you the man. So you're supposed to take that on.
Right.
It got to the point where you realize, okay, this motherfucker just taking advantage because I'm taking care of all of the upkeep.
right.
on all of the cars because I'm the one that understands it. And it's like, you're not even fucking trying to understand shit. You know how to do gas. You know how to do gas. You know what I mean? Like, so when we got to the point where her car went and now we was carless, and she looking at me like, what you going to do? And I'm like, what
skateboard,
you do?
Bitch. What you going to do?
Right.
What you want? This is how it's been all these years. It's always on me to fix these problems. I've been told you that car that I got you wasn't a permanent car. You were supposed to be putting money to the side and getting out of that car. This was to hold you down because she had a car accident.
Right.
She didn't have no bread. Uh-huh. This is to hold you down. But this ain't a you're not.
Now was she working too or no?
Yeah, she was working. And that's the thing. We was on different financial teams. Where boom, shorty out. Eating, always coming home with bags. Every time, I, yo, what's up? Where y'all at? Oh, we stopped at Ruby Tuesdays. You know, we just out here. I'm like, y'all out eating? What? It's the 2 for 20s. It's like, that shit add up. And you don't ever just spend $20. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's where all her bread was going.
Uh-huh.
So, now we get to her car gone. And she looking at me. And now she hit me with the, well, how much you think we need to get something else from the auction? I'm like, oh, you could probably snatch something. You should have like $1,000. Would you think I could get something for like, yeah, you get something for like $1,000 at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
She got $1,000. So you know how women don't ever be broke.
Yeah.
Men, we go into the negative for our family. A woman will never do that. And when she came down to the auction, I took it down to the auction. I'd always show her how to maneuver in the auction. But boom, we about to get outbid on this SUV.
And she looking at you for the other 200.
Mm-mm. She keep bidding because she got the bread.
Wow. How high did she go up?
She still spent a lot. She only went up like another 500. I think she paid 1500 for the car. But then when we got the car, we need to get a key, get a program, boom, boom, boom. Because this is all the shit that I was telling her, you don't have enough.
Uh-huh.
She only revealed that she had 1,000.
Right.
She had way more than 1,000. So it got to that point. It was like, okay, I'm.
I see where this is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a great situation where you can't trust her to tell you what's going on. I mean, that's keeping secrets.
Oh yeah. At one point we got to the point where I was like, yo, how much do you make? You know what I mean? Cause it's like, we can't even make financial plans because like I don't have no idea how much you make. And she would play dumb. She played, I don't know. I got to count it. She knew exactly what it was. And the thing was, I was like, okay, I got, you know what I mean? And if you see my ex, she was a looker, you know, thin waist, big titties, you know what I mean? Like tall statuesque. So she had all of that. Right. And it was just one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, this is the game. This is the game. I've been under this spell for, you know, a very long time. And once the kids came out, because we had a kid after about being together like a year and a half. So the game changed. You know what I mean?
Right. But the game changes if you let it change. The problem is a lot of times it's gradually changing. And then because it's gradually changing, you don't feel it. And you're overlooking these things and then you're under stress and then you're emotional about what it is as well. One of the things that I say all the time, you should only give away what you're ready to give away and not ask for anything in return.
What you can lose without it affecting you.
The up to the line of where you give. Where if you don't get it, you don't get anything in return, you're okay. And what I mean by that, I'm even a thank you. If you do something and they can't even say thank you, you got to be good with that. This is your decision. This way you're not, you know, I always say make ultimate decisions. Don't give ultimatums because ultimatums is a negotiation. There's you're negotiating not knowing what your leverage is. So if I just go, you know, if a girl says to you, if you don't do such and such, da 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 da, then I'm leaving, right? If she ain't really ready to leave, and you bluffing, you don't know what your leverage is. Now the chick might be annoying, and he might be looking for the out anyway.
So he goes,
then leave.
Right.
And then she goes, well, I don't want to. Now you've lost all credibility. Because you didn't make the decision. If you're going to leave, you just leave. You don't say if, then, if you do this. You got to assess the house for what it is in the moment that that you're buying the house. You don't, when you appraise a house, you don't appraise it for what it's worth 10 years from now, and you don't appraise it for what it was 10 years ago. You got to be, you got to understand what the value is in that moment. And if you understand what that value is, then you can, you know what your leverage is. But if you going, I mean, you're thinking or making these assumptions that you have this leverage to say, if you don't do this, I don't do it. But if you go, I don't like this and I'm leaving, there's no option. There's no negotiation. This is what is happening. Right. So that you understand that what direction you're going in, and she understands what direction you're going in, and you don't have to back off it. It's not like an if you do this, if that, because even when you go if this or that, you're really saying I'm not really ready to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was weird too. When I disconnected, it got bad. I never forget. I realized how bad shape we were in, because I would come to Philly. I would come to Philly to do shows, and it would just be like we was passing ships in the crib. This, I still had my car at this time. This one time I was doing a show in Philly at the Philly Comedy Club. I didn't feel like paying for parking, so I went and took the bus downtown, because the bus dropped you off two blocks from where the comedy club is, right? As I'm walking to the comedy club, I see my car parking on the street. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I walk up, it's her. And I'm like, oh, what you doing? She's like, well, I'm about to meet my girlfriends for dinner downtown. Oh, where? What you doing down here? And I'm like, I got a show. And I'm like, damn, we that off track that I come in from New York, sleep, wake up, and then I go to do a show, and we just, all right, boom, boom, boom. But we didn't even communicate. We bumped into each other while parking. Now, she felt bad about it. So after she was done with her her dinner, she came around to the club. And she came into the club, and I was on stage going in. And at this time, I was being very honest in my act about what's going on.
Oh, shit.
I'm seeing her. I didn't even know she was back there, but I could see her face, and she looks crushed, you know, hearing a lot of this shit. But afterwards, it's like, you know, the show sold out. All these people taking pictures, all this shit. And everybody, yo, we should go over here and drink, and we're going to go blah, blah, blah. And as we leaving out the club, I get to the sidewalk, and my cousin is like, yo, where's Char at? And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know, right? And she went to the bathroom, and we left without her.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, so it was like, she's not even on my radar anymore in the room. You know what I mean? She's more like a sibling that just – we got different friend circles now.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was
so
bad.
Was the breakup difficult once you pull the plug? Did that change, or was it just both of y'all were pretty much done?
Oh, it got even more awkward. So she's not as, I'm chalking up to the fact that I'm a comic. So comics were vulnerable, we're honest. She didn't have that in her. So we pulled the plug because things got physical for the first time in like 9 years. And when that was like, all right, we're not going to go to therapy. We need to break up. But she didn't want to tell the kids. She didn't want to tell her mom. She didn't want to tell nobody. So mind you, at the time.
Why? Why do you think?
She don't have that. She lives a different world of like honesty. Ain't really, like, even now after the breakup, she moved to Arizona so that she don't have to deal with family and friends no more.
Oh, like, so it's all about, it's about the image, about what everybody thinks.
Exactly. Exactly. So she moved to Arizona in the middle of goddamn pandemic while they were spiking. You know what I mean? Just because I think it's probably somebody out there that's helping her finance the shit. You know what I mean? I'm not really too worried about it. Like, that's how disconnected I am from it. Mm. But yeah, we spent about a good 6 months in the house pretending for the kids. Because that was her little goofy rule. You know what I mean? And I'm right. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't want my kids to be out of it, but it was weird. Once the pandemic happened, and it was probably around this time, that maybe a little bit later, maybe like April or so, she kind of hit me with the, yo, like, look, I know we're not together, but can you, like, not talk to girls in the house? Like, the kids is asking questions. It's really disrespectful. And I'm like, this is on you. Like, you got to stop lying to the kids. Like, we can tell them. You know, but yeah, that's how that ended up going. Like,
in every instance, she was kind of selfish.
So what did you just discovered it? And then
Like, I'm trying to remember what.
Why was I with her?
No, I mean, not that. I mean, I'm trying to remember I'm trying to see what I was thinking at the time when you were talking to me. Or I don't know if you were just talking to me in general about.
I was just talking in general. What happened was, for the most part, I had my situation under control, or at least as much as I thought I did, until I couldn't afford it no more. See, that was the difference. What fell it apart for me was, when my income went down and I couldn't support the lifestyle, you know what I mean? Like, I got to a point where, because my kids' birthday parties are ridiculous. It's like, she spends, like, it'll be like a skating party, pool party, hotel party. She'll keep everybody kids for 48 hours. And she's just like, baby, just give me the credit card. And I'm like, yo, can you, like, please keep it below, like, $1,000? But, like, $1,000 for an 8-year-old's birthday party is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's unnecessary, yeah.
Yeah, but she's that way. She'll go big.
What'd she do for a living?
She runs a business. She makes skin and hair care products. You know what I mean? Shea butter, you know, bath bombs, all that good shit. You know what
Does she make decent money?
I have no idea. To this day, I have no idea. Because it's like, it's fascinating where I'm like, because I've been with her to events where she started off doing a lot of street festivals and little festivals.
Damn, small, yeah.
Right, and it's just cash in the little fanny pack. So, you know, it was, I don't know. It's like, you didn't pay attention to it at first. And I guess that's also the thing, because I wasn't asking before. When I did start asking her, she just kind of went along with her. I have no idea. And see, that worked for me when we first started, because the way I was moving. The way I was moving, she was so, for lack of a better word, she wasn't like that aware. I don't want to call her stupid. It's the mother of my kids on record, but like, she's stupid. But she wasn't aware. So what was happening was, I was comfortable because she wouldn't ask no questions. I could do whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean? When we first started dating, she came to a comedy show where a girl who I was messing with showed up, you know, to come and confront me. I had two girls run up on me at this show, and I'm walking out with her. All these girls confronting me, but where the fuck you? Blah, 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 blah. She ain't say nothing. Like, she was just cool like that. I remember when I found out Shorty's like password to her computers was like rainbows. I'm like, oh yeah, this girl is like innocent. You know what I mean? Like, she ain't paying attention.
Rainbows.
Yeah. Rainbows. Like, so, maybe she grasped it as she went on and learned a few things, but yeah, my guard was totally down because I didn't think she was smart. Well,
let's shut this down and we're going to put the rest of this behind the paywall. I want to really dig into this a little bit.
What's the paywall, Dante?
The Patreon is Patreon.com/manschool202. If y'all want to sign up, even if you just want to support what we're doing, please sign up for the Patreon. Every little bit helps. Upgrading on things. We're trying to do some more things with the studio and whatnot and some technical stuff. Real quick, Dave, plug your shit, bro.
Yo, DaveTempleComedy.com is the website. All right, on there, I've got my special, the second one. All right, the audio is available on Apple Music, Deezer, Amazon, Tidal, all of that good stuff. But if you listen to the audio, you're going to want to see what was going on in that room. And the video is for rent and own on my website. $10 to rent it for 72 hours, $20 to download it, own it forever. All right, my podcast, I have No Need for Apologies. I'm the new co-host of No Need for Apologies on GasDigital.com. We had Dante Nero on, episode 136, but go to our YouTube, check out his episode along with some other great episodes on there. Other podcasts, Unpopular Opinions, all right? Dante's been on that also. You know, the theme of that podcast is, just because you are offended does not mean you are right. You just ain't been exposed to that point of view. I'm Dave Temple on all social media platforms. Get with me.
All right. Drizzle Drake.
Here, Andre D. Thompson and AndreDThompson.com Socks Theory Podcast. Both.
I'm liking that show. I'm really feeling Harry, talk to me.
All my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. And just check out Manschool 202 YouTube page. That's important. And also the Patreon and TikTok. All that stuff. We're up there.
Everything Manschool 202.
Yeah, but the Patreon is a big one. come and join us. We're about to continue with Dave Temple.
If y'all need a consultation and stuff, go to DanteNero.com and click on consult. All my social media, you know, Dante Nero, you can find everything. GYBB, Get Your Balls Back, WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all, man. We are out. Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.